Good morning, Christchurch family. Good to see you guys this morning. I'd like to welcome all those who are watching online all over the world as well. Hey, can I just take a time out just for a second? And can I say, we have some awesome students here. We have some phenomenal. Give it up for our student ministry here. We have some phenomenal students. I mean, you got to see the tip of the iceberg with the students that are up here leading worship or the ones that are helping with tech. That's just the tip of the iceberg. We have some students here that are on fire for Jesus. And if you don't have a student plugged in here at Christ Church in our student ministry, parents, you are missing out. You need to get your teenagers here plugged in. We have all kinds of great stuff going on here for middle school and high school. And if you need more information about that, I'm going to ask you to go over to the student ministry kiosk, and there'll be people there to answer any questions that you may have. But guys, parents, this is just for you, just for a second. Please don't just drop off your students at student ministry programming. Join them. Come with them. Guys, we are partnering with you as parents, and we need you to help us, and you need us to help you as well. And so it's a partnership. And so please, please don't just drop your kids off and say, hey, fix my kid. Like, that's not the goal here, all right? We need you to partner with us as well. And we believe, okay, we have some fantastic volunteers here at Christ Church, even in the student ministry and family ministry, but we believe that students are not the church of tomorrow, they are the church of right now, today. And so that's what I love about Christ Church. And so before we go any further, we have two big things that are coming up in the student ministry world. Matter of fact, tomorrow morning, very early, right, high school students? They are leaving to go to Tennessee, to our CIY. It's our annual high school conference that they go to every year. And we need to pray for them. Keep them in your prayers as they head up to Tennessee and they go to this conference. And life change happens at these conferences. And so please pray for our students, not just for safety, but that Satan would stay away and that Jesus and God speaks to them. Also, we also have Camp Dynamite coming up as well in a couple weeks. It's for our middle school camp that we put on every year as well, and there is tons of life change that happens there as well. And I just want to put this in there, okay? Today is the last day for you, if you have a middle school student, get them signed up for camp, all right? Today is the last day, all right? High school students, if you want to sign up for the high school event, too late, sorry, all right? But you can sign up your middle school student today. Today is the last day. Sign them up. You do not want to miss out on your kid going to camp this summer. Let's pray, and then we're going to jump into 2 Timothy. God, you are sovereign. You are in control. You are on the throne. And God, with events that happened this past week, we have lots of questions, and there's lots of hurt. But bottom line, God, we need to fall in line with you. God, our identity is in you. That is where our identity is in. It's in you and you alone. And the bottom line is that people have lost their lives. Your creation has lost their lives. And that makes you sad. And God, so we pray for Louisiana. We pray for Dallas. And God, I just pray right now for our high school students as they go on to CIY. God, that you would just protect them this week. God, that you speak so clearly to them as they get away from here. God, just bless their time away. God, I pray right now as we open up your word, God, that you challenge us, you convict us of what we need to be doing and how much you love us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. How many guys know what this is right here? Anyone know? Yeah. Also known as, in middle school world, a muzzle, right? No, I'm teasing. We don't put duct tape on their mouths when they go into middle school programming. But duct tape has all kinds of good uses. And matter of fact, duct tape is a key element in our middle school camps every year. And what we do is at middle school camp is we don't tape kids to their bunk beds. But what we do is we build cardboard boats every summer at Camp Dynamite. And we give each cabin cardboard, we give them milk jugs, we give them saran wrap, and we give them, yes, duct tape. And they are to construct their cardboard boat out of those elements. And then we line them up and we race them. And it's hilarious to watch these kids. try to race these cardboard boats at camp. And so duct tape has a great use when you're building cardboard boats. Duct tape also has other great uses, such as, how many of you guys have kids that have ever made a duct tape wallet? Anyone ever done that? Some of you adults, raise your hand. You've actually done it recently, okay. So you can make a wallet out of duct tape. You can also make duct tape toms or shoes, all right, out of duct tape, as well as pants. Do not suggest making duct tape out of pants, but if you feel like you need to, come talk to me. All right. This is extravagant. All right, this is incredible right here. These two were going to prom, and they made their tuxedo and their prom dress out of duct tape. That's incredible. That's awesome. Next, you can make duct tape your next Halloween costume. I'm sorry, Johnny, this year we're running a little low on our funds for Halloween costumes. How about you be duct tape man? And you know what? It might actually work. Your kid may actually love it, except for when you have to take the duct tape off. Just saying. But yeah, you can also duct tape your couch if you need to repair it. And you can duct tape the person laying on your couch. Not sure how that happened. Moving on. You can duct tape someone's bike as a really cool prank, and then watch them try to ride their bike. If you're going on vacation, you cannot find those bungee cords laying around your garage. You get out the roll of duct tape, all right? And you wrap your luggage on top, strap it on. Or you can duct tape your youth pastor to a wall at camp. And that happened, yes. And you can duct tape your kid. That's not my kid. Don't know whose kid that is. But it's free babysitting. No, don't do that. She has clothes on, all right? Come on, it's not going to hurt her that much. And they left her stuffed animal next to her. You can also repair cracks in the road with duct tape. And you can repair other cracks as well. A couple years ago, I was playing in the Christchurch Flag Football League, and I decided I need a new pair of cleats for this new year. You know, I gotta have the cleats. I gotta look like I'm playing the part. So I know the place where you go to get good cleats for a good deal. You go to Ross. Have you been to Ross before? They have tons of shoes and cleats and athletic shoes for cheap. And so what I did is, you know, I'm gonna go to Ross. And so I went there and I walked in the store and I immediately walked back to the shoes. And I immediately locked eyes with the cleats that I knew that I wanted. It's like it was meant to be. And I remember to this day, they were these sweet Nike cleats that I was like, man, I gotta have those. And so I take them off the shelf. I look inside the shoe to see what size they are, because in Ross, you know, shoes are just everywhere. They're not really where they're supposed to be. But I look inside because they look pretty close, and it says 11 and a half. And I wear a size 12. And I'm like, I love these cleats. We're gonna make this work. So I tried them on. They seemed pretty comfortable, okay? It was a little tight, little snug, but you know what? I can make it work. So I buy the cleats, take them home, and then the game comes that weekend. I put them on, I wear them, and it's going good. Halftime comes. I feel the backs of my heels have blisters. And I'm like, oh, you gotta be kidding me. Not only were these shoes not broken in, but they're too small. And so I can feel the backs of my heels just like screaming, because I know I've ripped both my heels open. And so I take my cleats off at halftime, take my socks off, and I ask if anyone has any gauze or athletic tape where I could, you know, tape it up, give a little extra padding, and no one had anything. But you know what someone had? Someone had duct tape. So I said, you know, we're gonna make this work, because you know, the backside of duct tape is really slippery, and so it may cause my heels to, you know, kind of slide a little better and not resist as much. Didn't work. So I get back out of the second half and I'm playing, and it hurts. Every step that I take, it's killing me. And I finished the game, and I was the first person to rip off my cleats and my socks, and I was in pain. So I hobbled to the car, and then I got home, and I'll never forget, I got in the shower, And you know what a burn or blisters are like for the first time in the shower? Oh my gosh, it hurts so bad. And I could not wear shoes for the next 2 to 3 weeks. I had to wear flip-flops for the next 2 to 3 weeks. That's how bad the backs of my heels got. But when I compare that pain and those blisters to the pain that my Savior Jesus went through, that doesn't compare. When I compare that pain to the pain that I read about several Christ followers going through and that you read about in the Bible and disciples that they went through in the Bible, that pain doesn't compare. And this morning, as we jump into 2 Timothy, we're going to be looking at a guy who was very diligent, a guy who knew what perseverance was, who knew what endurance was, and his name was Paul. And Paul happens to be the author of not only 1 Timothy, but 2 Timothy. And in the book of 2 Timothy, these words are so important because 2 Timothy happens to be the last letter and the last words that Paul writes before he's beheaded. And so if you're going to listen to someone's words, you're really going to listen to someone, right? If they're on their deathbed or they have any wishes before they die, you're going to listen to that person. And this is Paul right here today, church. He is challenging his protege, Timothy, to be diligent and to persevere and to have endurance. And so as we continue in our summer series, Dialed In, we're going to be dialed in to diligence this morning. And in this letter, he's challenging Timothy, like I said. He's encouraging him to hold on to the faith, to be diligent, and to persevere. And so let's jump right into it. 2 Timothy chapter 1. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and open up your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 1. If you don't, open up your tablet or your phone. There's all kinds of good Bible apps. Follow along with us. If not, we'll have it on the screen. But in 2 Timothy chapter 1, this is where Paul starts by challenging Timothy. To Timothy, my dear son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve as my ancestors did, with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers, recalling your tears. I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. So do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner. Rather, join with me in suffering for the gospel. By the power of God, he has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. But it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And of this gospel, I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. That is why I am suffering as I am. Yet this is no cause for shame, because I know whom I have believed and am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. What you heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching with faith and love in Christ Jesus. So just right here off the bat, Paul is challenging Timothy, be diligent, persevere, endure. In church, I'll be honest with you, I don't think we know what real endurance is. I think today, as Christ followers, I think we're pretty comfortable. And God asks us for commitment. And Paul is challenging Timothy here in 2 Timothy. Timothy, be committed. Stay committed. Endure. Have diligence. And then again, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, Paul challenges Timothy again. You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. Join with me in suffering. Like a good soldier of Christ Jesus, no one serving as a soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs, but rather tries to please his commanding officer. Similarly, anyone who competes as an athlete does not receive the victor's crown except by competing according to the rules. The hardworking farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops. Reflect on what I am saying. For the Lord will give you insight into all this. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel, for which I am suffering even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But God's word is not chained. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Here is a trustworthy saying. If we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we disown him, he will also disown us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot disown himself. Every word in 2 Timothy is soaked in Timothy, endure, persevere, be diligent. And of all people to be challenging Timothy and us today as the church to do this, Paul is the man to be doing this. Paul is basically saying, if you, Timothy, if you, church, can walk even with my feet hurt, so can you. And Paul, for saying this, he can back it up. Because Paul, formerly known as Saul, how did he come to be a Christ follower? Remember, God struck him blind, and he didn't even complain. And then in Acts 9, he starts sharing the good news in Damascus. In Damascus, they run him out of town for preaching the gospel. And then later on in Acts 9 in Jerusalem, the Jews want him out of town. And then in Acts 14, Paul moves on to Antioch, and he preaches the good news, the gospel message again. And they hate him so much that they come up with a conspiracy to kill, and eventually Paul leaves for his friend Timothy's hometown of Lystra. And the same thing happens there. Paul gets ran out of Lystra and heads to a town called Derbe. And some things happen in Derbe. And you think Paul would get smart here? He'd say, all right, no more. I'm going to play it comfortable. He doesn't. He doesn't throw in the towel because it seems like everywhere he went, he was causing a problem. But everywhere he went, he was preaching the good news. And so he goes right back to Lystra to preach the gospel again after he gets kicked out of Derbe. And he could have chose to be comfortable, but instead he chose to be committed. So Paul goes back to Lystra, the exact place where he got kicked out of before. And this time he meets some fierce opposition. He begins to preach the gospel in Lystra. And what happens is people start to chase him with rocks and clubs and sticks. And they beat him up till he's almost dead. But Paul doesn't die. They leave his body at the edge of town for dead, and Paul still doesn't die. Paul knew what it was like to endure. He knew what it was to have diligent, and he's challenging Timothy, endure. Be diligent, Timothy, and he's challenging us to do that today as Christians. Paul was even shipwrecked 3 times, whipped, stoned, clubbed, snake bitten, thrown into jail several times, but it did not stop him from preaching Jesus. Paul knew what endurance was, and he knew that you could beat him up, but you couldn't shut him up unless you killed him. And at the end of Paul's life, beaten, bruised, scarred, feet are really ugly by now, he decides to go to Rome to preach the gospel. And if you know anything about Rome at this time, they are persecuting and killing Christians in Rome. And Paul still goes and preaches the gospel message. And so he says to Nero, he even preaches in front of important officials, he says to Nero, Nero, you are not God, you are not Lord, and one day you will bow before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and you will never shut me up because I know how to walk even when my feet hurt. And Paul was thrown into prison. And this prison that Paul was thrown into is basically a hole in the ground. And that is where Paul is as he's writing this last letter to Timothy. And in 2 Timothy chapter 4, here is where Paul challenges Timothy with some of his last words. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead? And in view of his appearing in his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. Sound familiar to the world we live in now? But you, keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your ministry. For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time for my departure is near. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. These are Paul's, some of his last words to Timothy. And Paul is telling Timothy, church, what we should be diligent in. And what should we be diligent in? Preaching the word. Preaching the good news, sharing the gospel message. That is what Paul tells us in Timothy that we should be diligent in. Paul is basically telling Timothy, Timothy, keep the main thing, and that is Jesus. That is sharing the good news. It is giving this world hope. And Paul is not just saying, preach the word like a lunatic that you would see on the corner of a street would preach, hell and brimstone. That's not what Paul is saying. Paul is saying, share the gospel message. And guys, church, this morning, I want you to understand, preaching is not just what happens up here on the stage. Preaching is what happens out in the world when we leave this building. Preaching is sharing the good news of Jesus Christ with the world. That is what preaching is. And church, I think we need to be more diligent. No, I know we need to be more diligent at that. I don't think we really have a clue what it's like to truly walk when our feet hurt. We need to work on our diligence and our endurance. And it's time for us as Christ followers to keep the main thing, the main thing. In everything that we do, we are preaching and sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. And here's the cool thing about that. Preaching the word of God is what we all need to be doing. And let's face it, any authority that we have is derived from God's word. And so here's the cool thing about when we preach, when we share the good news, if we're sharing God's word with other people, it's not us speaking to them, it's God speaking to them. And Paul says, preach the word. Faithfully preach the word so that the voice of God is being heard by your friends, by your family, by your coworkers, by your classmates. And it may be inconvenient to take a stand for Christ or to tell others about his love, but preaching the word of God is the most important responsibility the church and its members have been given. And Paul tells us we must be prepared for, courageous in, and sensitive to God-given opportunities to preach and share the good news. So this morning, I'll give you guys some takeaways to help us all, including myself, in how we can preach the good news. Preaching that sticks. And I have an acrostic up here that spells out preach. And I want to challenge you to do this. Take a strip of duct tape when you get home, rip it off, and I want you to put it in a place, or before you put it in the place, I want you to write on it, preach. Just write preach on it and stick it somewhere where you're going to see it almost every day. And it will remind you that you have a purpose, you have a reason, and your number one reason and purpose is to communicate the good news to this world. We have got to be reminded of that time and time again. We have to be diligent at it. But preach. The first letter in preach, P. Prepare to share your faith. Guys, we've got to prepare ourselves. And you want to know how we're not doing the right thing? First, some of us in here, we're thinking, oh, I gotta do some research. I gotta know what I'm supposed to say. The first thing that we have to do to prepare ourselves to preach the good news is to pray that God gives us those opportunities. We have to ask God to have those opportunities. And that's the first step in preparing ourselves. And then you can pray about, God, help me then have the words to say. And then you can read God's word. You can do the studying you want. But we have to be prepared to know what we're talking about. Prepare to preach. We have to recognize that your lifestyle is crucial to sharing your faith. Guys, we can preach all the greatest sermons we want. We can preach from God's word all we want. But guys, if our lives aren't matching up with what God's word says, then we're confusing. And you want to know what a lot of people are actually watching that aren't Christians? They're looking at how we live. And so your lifestyle is a sermon in itself. And when people look at that, they're like, what difference does it make to have Jesus if Christians aren't acting any different than they are? Our lifestyle is crucial to sharing your faith. E, extend an invitation. What I mean by that is this. Guys, we have a lot of awesome things that we're blessed to have here at Christ Church. We have a lot of cool things that go on. Freedom Fest a couple weeks ago, it was crazy hot, like a bazillion degrees outside, but it was an opportunity for you to invite someone to hear the gospel message. We have neighborhood groups all over the Jacksonville area. And those are designed not just to get together and have a little holy huddle and a little Bible study, but they're designed so you invite your neighbors to hear about the gospel message. We in student ministry, we have all kinds of awesome things that we do throughout the year. We do awesome things in our children's ministry and our family ministry. And we don't do these things to say, hey, look what I did, or look what we can do. We do these things so that way we can have places where you can feel comfortable inviting your friends, your coworkers to, your classmates to hear about the good news. So invite. Extend an invitation. A, ask questions. And these are all things that are going to help us preach the gospel better. Ask questions. Here's the thing. A lot of times as Christians, we feel like we have to have an answer. We have to have a rebuttal for everything. What if we just stopped and we actually just listened? I think people would appreciate that. If we just stopped and we listened to where they're coming from. Ask questions. C, communicate how and why you became a Christian. So basically, what was your life like before Christ? And what was your life like after Christ? There should be a difference. H, this is the last one, and how we can be better at preaching the gospel and how we can be diligent at sharing the good news. Help your friends and your family to know Christ personally. This, we just need to keep simple. We just need to share the gospel message. And the gospel message is simple. Jesus died for our sins. He was buried. He rose again. We need to turn from our own selfish, evil ways, and we need to accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. That's the gospel message. And sometimes we like to make it more difficult than what it is. But we need to help our friends and our family to know Christ personally. And here's the cool thing about this, about sharing the good news. It takes all the pressure off. We don't do the saving. Amen? Jesus Christ does the saving. And all God asks us to do is just share. He just asks us to share. The saving is not up to us. The saving is up to Him. We just need to share. And we need to help our friends and family to know Christ personally. How awesome would it be for some of you to walk your friends, your coworkers, your classmates through personally knowing Jesus, and ultimately you end up over there baptizing them? How many of you guys have ever baptized a friend before or a family member over here? Anyone? It's exciting, isn't it? And God wants us to play a part in that. To preach the word. To share the good news. In closing, me and my lovely family, I have a wife and three kids. We recently got a dog. Yeah. Usually people get the dog and then get the kids. We did the other way. We had the three kids and then we got the dog. And that's Harry. He is a golden doodle. He's really, really, really handsome guy. But the crazy thing about this is that my wife suggested that we get a dog. And if you know my wife is not really the biggest pet person. Matter of fact, if you had seen her out in public before we even got the dog, she'd be like, that's cool, it's a dog, that's awesome, cool. Don't let it get on me, don't let it lick my feet, don't let it jump on me, whatever, cool dog. But my wife said, hey, you know what, this family can't take care of this dog, I think we should jump in and maybe take care of this dog. And I go, what? I go, who are you? And so, of course, we didn't go check out the dog. I went to go check out the dog to see if he would be a good fit. And he's a golden doodle. And so the cool thing about his golden doodles, any kind of doodle, they don't shed hair. So that was the selling point for me. I was like, that's awesome. And so I found out, you know, hey, as I got to know the dog, it's a great fit for our family. And the crazy thing is this. My wife has now become like the dog whisperer. She went from like not being the big pet fan to now like loving dogs. And she'll get down like, oh, I just love you so much, Harry. I'm like, what? Who are you? And we'll have Amazon Prime boxes on our doorstep every other day. I said every day, but she said every other day. It's like a whole lot worse, right? And guess what's in them? Doggy stuff, all right? And we're out in public. My wife notices dogs now, and she notices people having conversation while they're walking their dogs, or they're talking about their dog at the ball field or wherever we're at. Oh, yeah, my dog, he's just so cute, blah, blah, blah. And then we have a dog too, blah, 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 and they just start this conversation. I'm like, holy cow. She went from a person who wasn't a big pet person to now she loves pets. She loves dogs. And it becomes natural to her talking to people about dogs. Here's the crazy thing. Because Harry has changed the way we live our lives, and we've only had him for 3 months. But Jesus Christ has changed our lives way more than a dog could. And why is it not natural for us to share the good news with people? Like, it's so natural to talk to other people about our dogs, or to talk to people about our cars, or our jobs, or our hobbies. Why is it that we are ashamed, or we're not confident in sharing the greatest thing that has ever happened to us? Church, we've got to be more diligent in sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. Amen? We have got to be diligent at it. And I want to know, do we have anybody in here that is ready to start preaching the word, sharing the good news, preaching Jesus Christ to the world, no matter what, even if our feet hurt? I don't know about you, but I'm going to preach the good news. I'm going to share the good news of Jesus Christ for the rest of my life until I die. No matter what. Now I want to know, do we have some people who are with me? Paul wants to know, God wants to know, do we have some people that want to be diligent at sharing the good news of Jesus Christ? Guys, we've got to do a better job of keeping the main thing, the main thing. Let's pray. God, you've changed many people's lives in this room. God, including myself, you've changed my life. God, help us to be diligent in sharing with the world what you've done in our lives. Help us to endure, help us to persevere in sharing the good news and preaching your word. God, we want to make you famous. You are the great I am. It's you that we want to share with this world to give them hope and to peace and to know true love. In Jesus' name we pray.